everybody. I'm Chad Eckert. That's Joe Idoni. You can follow us on the preferred lines on Twitter. We're live. Periscope, Twitch, YouTube. You can find us later on iTunes. Taking a deep breath and exhaling after a long week at the Masters 2020. It's over. Cheers to that.
It's over.
Right?
Yeah.
Skull. Hey, we're doing this a little bit early on a Monday. We're typically here providing betting information every Monday evening around 8 o'clock, 7 o'clock, because the Vikings are on and they're playing the Bears. Decided to do it a little bit early. I'm in my garage. I'm a little bit cold. I got the heater going. You already know who we are. But what about the Masters? How good was the Masters 2020? I mean, a Sungjae. Dude, how much is my autograph worth now? The Sungjae
autograph? It's going up. It's going up. Like the jock market shares on that are going through the roof, right?
Mm-hmm.
So the Masters was fun. I think that Dustin is a deserving champion. It was great to see. It felt like it lacked a little bit of electricity on the weekend for me. I don't think that had to do with the fans. I just think that we're normally used to seeing a lot more excitement on the back nine, and it just didn't really feel like that was all there. Like I said, I'm not really sure if that was the fans or the lead or the fact that it was going up against NFL Sunday, but still a great event. We're fortunate to have had it take place and excited for the restart.
Do you want to talk about the Masters or should we go into the RSM? I didn't even print the logo. I wasn't even sure we were going to do this, so I just wrote with magic marker.
RSM. I like that. All right, but first, I wrote down some notes on Sunday from the Masters. Do you mind if I read them off real quick?
Sure, let's hear it.
So 10 things that I took away from the 2020 Masters. Number one, DJ, he's the man. He's deservingly the best player in the world. He is what we all aspire to be. He is the American role model in golf. Powerful, full of swag, aloof at some times, but aggressive. Just awesome to see him. Deserving champion, played awesome. Nod to DJ. Number two, Justin Thomas. Too many bogeys. This is what I was worried about. Started out hot, 70-71 on the weekend. He actually was only one birdie away from DJ, but just makes too many bogeys. He gets himself into bad spots. Doesn't seem to have the ability to recover. So he compounds his errors a little too much. I don't love where his game's at right now. I know a lot of people are high on him and ready to bet him coming up. I'm not.
Yeah, I mean, that runner-up finish that he just had and then finishing fourth, what a disappointment. I mean, he's terrible.
I'm just saying, like, he was up there. He should have contended, and it should have been him versus Dustin Johnson.
We know what his problem is.
He fell off the stage.
You know what his problem is? That he cares too much, Joe. He doesn't have the DJ brain where he talks about sandwiches.
Maybe.
JT clearly wants it, like, too badly. Same with Rory. These guys
exactly. It's almost too badly because I noticed even on the second hole on Sunday when he, like, bogeyed that, he seemed so dejected, like, I don't have a chance unless I play perfect. I don't love it. Go out there
and play your game. It happened Saturday. He had a putt on 12, JT, on Saturday. I was watching it. I'm like, here it is. If he misses this putt, we're downhill. If he makes this putt, he's going into 13, 14, 15, and we're going for it, and he's going to have it. And what did he do? Miss the putt because he sucks at putting. He's a terrible putter.
And that's he does suck at putting, and it affects his confidence. Even in the interview post-round on Saturday, it sounded like he had already given in to the fact that DJ was going to win. All right, next. Number three, John Rahm. Exited stage left early on Saturday at hole number eight. Duck hook into the woodwork. We all saw a double bogey. Seemed to not be around since then. But played the final six holes in four under par on Sunday. He will be back in April. I expect when they inject a little bit of fire into the greens, it's going to set up better for him.
Okay, I agree.
Number four, Rory. Same thing. The harder, the better. When this course played its easiest on Thursday, he played his worst. When it played its toughest on Sunday, he played his best. Now, people are going to say he doesn't like the pressure. Once he was out of contention, the monkey was off of his shoulders and he played better. Maybe some truth there, but his around the green game is so sketchy right now. He cannot chip or pitch. He's lost strokes in like seven of the last 10, including the Masters. Get that cleaned up, Rory, and he'll be back. If you have any thoughts, just interrupt.
Yeah, no, I'll interject. So how many
number five,
we got 10 topics?
What's that? Yeah, I got 10 things. Okay. Just notes. Number five, Brooks battled. That's all I wrote. He battled. Didn't have his stuff, didn't make putts, but hung tough. And he could have done what a lot of these other guys did and just hung his head and drifted down to the 30th and ended up top 10ing, coming off an injury. Didn't make excuses, battled. Bryson did not battle.
No.
Opposite. After the third hole, when he lost that ball on Friday, he looked like a boy who lost his puppy. Mm-hmm. Kind of embarrassing for him. And even the takes afterwards, he got bodied by Balionis in the interview after it, which she almost kind of laughed at him when he said that he was dizzy and had a headache. And she was like, that's what this course will do to you. Kind of like a knife shot at him for that's what happens when you go at Augusta National, call it a par 67, the teeth bite back. And I think that the field and his competitors truly loved to see it.
Oh God. Yeah. Do you think that they were really looking for his ball?
No. And all of those guys, like, take any name.
No, Louis,
I think top 25, like, tell me they weren't back at their rented house that, like, every night laughing at Bryson. Like,
oh, totally.
Look at this guy. He wants another COVID test. He's dizzy after he said he's going to murder us all, after we had to answer a million questions about him all week. And this is what happens. The 48-inch driver, all of this is for naught.
Weren't you going to drive the green on number three? Why are you in the rough over there 25 yards in front of it? I thought you were – and he was hitting it to the same spot as everybody else. It wasn't like he even was smashing it that much further. So,
and I don't
want
it to come
off. He juiced up his numbers on his little machine to make everyone intimidated and to get sponsors? I mean, DraftKings and other people are giving him money because of his little launch monitor numbers. Is that worth juicing them?
I think that he can put those numbers out there. I don't think that that is his game swing, if that makes sense.
No, I've swung as hard as I could at Braemar Golf Dome, and I've hit it in there.
Exactly. I think his game swing is not that, but I just think that he did this to himself. I hope that he learns from this a little bit and takes a little bit of a different approach. Not to say it's not working. He won a major this season, but I was happy to see it.
Right. I think the reaction – an overreaction is going to happen. Like, there's going to be a reaction to him being bad at the Masters, and there's going to be an overreaction to it when it comes to even Augusta 2021, perhaps. I mean, it's the same guy. He'll probably play even better then. He'll have it more figured out then. He might even have a 48-inch driver then, and he might not come in as the betting favorite. He has less pressure, so I think maybe get back on it.
Yep. All right, Cam Smith, I wrote down here, nod to Cam Smith, but he had a golden horseshoe up his asshole all week, and he making amazing saves. It was fun to sweat him out on Jock Market, but I'm not looking for that to happen again. Another note on Cam Smith is this guy's a killer, man. He is fearless. Like, he will – all right, so there were a number of situations where par was barely in play, but – double bogey was more so in play. Like, if you break down the percentages, he probably had a 10% chance of par and a 60% chance of double if he tries this shot. He tried it every time and was making the par. Like, he didn't care about, I'm just going to take my bogey here. He's all in. And
dude, how about on 15 when he sprayed it off to the left? I thought it was over. I was like, oh, here it comes. I knew we're waiting for his collapse. There's no way he's shooting 60 today on Sunday. So here it comes.
And he owns my guy, Justin Thomas, too.
Find his ball. He goes over the bridge. Finds it. I mean, my goodness gracious. It was great. Mm-hmm. Except for the one lineup that was making me the most money on DraftKings did not have Cam Smith. But I was on Cam Smith. I loved Cam Smith. I had a bunch of other rosters that were cashing with Cam Smith. So I was kind of like, in a way, hoping that he wasn't going to be great, but not terrible. But at the same time, he just came through the clutch. He is a big game hunter. He did it to JT. He looked him straight in the eyes. He took him out in the President's Cup. He's done this to the Sony.
He did it with JT on Sunday in the same group. He owns him. He took his soul. He may have taken his soul in Melbourne.
And he's not even young. The problem is he looks young, but he's 27. Like, he's a prime of his career.
He's that little fuzz on his that little blonde stash he's got going on is pretty classic, right?
Okay, so what are the last couple?
All right, number 8, Sungjae. The birdie machine, Sungjae Im, is back. I was happy for you, like, as this was happening.
My heart was so full.
Yeah, my boy texted me, like, he likes Sungjae, and I felt terrible because I'm like, I don't like Sungjae this week. I actually took Cam Smith in a matchup versus him, which is crazy that they both finished second and it washed.
Tied.
But either way, 24 birdies at Augusta National. His first time around led the field in birdies. Like, and he wasn't even hitting fairways. Saturday and Sunday, he hit 50% of the fairways, and he's just still making substantial amount of birdies. He was, his chipping and pitching around the green was phenomenal. Godly. Like, he was in absolute dead zones of Augusta National. Faldo, the guys were saying he's dead over there. Every time with the softest hands, he was getting those up and down. Incredibly impressed with Sung J.M.
It was like, hit that one 12-inch square spot.
Yes.
Or you're fucked. And he's like, right there? Okay, cool. Boom.
The pitch on 15 that he had that almost went over the green into the water and somehow stopped, and he chipped, like, unbelievable touch.
Oh, my God. And then he was making the 8-footer and 6-footer and the 7-footer. Yep. He was saving himself left and right. It was great. I was like, come on, baby boy. I was watching with my toddler, Liam, inside. He's 4. I'm like, come on, baby boy. Let's go, baby boy. And I was calling him my baby boy. And then so the tournament's over, and I'm like having dinner last night with Liam. And I'm like, so who do you remember who won the Masters? He's like, oh, baby boy. Did baby boy win? I'm like, no. Oh, he didn't win.
Not yet, but big things to come for Sungjae. Number 9. I threw some names down here. Patrick Cantlay, Patrick Reed, Webb Simpson, and I threw in at the last second Tony Finau. The reason these four names, turn on the notifications now, from now until April. Any one of these guys crosses over and dips a little bit and has a 4 in front of their number, so 40-1 or more. It's an auto bet. You say
Cantlay never. Cantlay won't reach 40.
It's crazier things have happened. He's like 28, 30 right now. Okay. You never know. So barring injury,
you're probably right. Just like
guys to keep it. Those are guys that keep an eye on. I feel like they are better set up for a Masters with fire in the greens where they have to get up and down, a lower scoring Masters. One thing that I'm pretty confident in is the board of directors, whoever runs the show at Augusta National, is not going to want this thing to play 20 under par in April. Right. They're going to want to get it back to 10 under par. I think that that suits all four of these guys. So just four guys that I have circled.
So then what do you do? How do you do that? You put notifications on? What do you mean? Do you really do that?
Or no, that was just a metaphor. You don't really have notifications on. I'm just saying, keep an eye on your odds boards, pay attention to your books. Those are guys that just I'm looking to have float. If they float a little bit, I'll take them. Guys, I have circles.
The mailman just got here and my dog's barking inside. But anyway, okay, that dude, the Masters was amazing. We loved it. We're happy about it, but then we're ready to move on, aren't we?
Hold on. I have one more. Number 10. And this is more of a shout out than anything. Shout out to my guy, Ryan Baruff. DFS Open karma is real.
It really is.
The man texted me. I can't believe he didn't mush himself. He's the king mush. So shout out Ryan. He texted me on Friday morning, his lineup, and said, this has big time potential. And I said, you are way too early, my man, to be
just like I sent you. And I said, I was going to have potential.
Yeah. But it's just, I was just so superstitious. I didn't like it. Ended up cashing the signature hole or whatever it's called. Won $200,000. Shout out Ryan. Big winner of Masters Week. Let's go. It could be anyone, man. I did it this year. Ryan did it. Like, you don't have to be one of these guys that enters in $50,000 a week. You can find the right combination and it's there. Like, we know things, right? Dude, we're not just randomly plug and play.
Dude, I was going to say, you can be happy for people in the community that score. Of course. Because, like, what are you talking about? We're not playing against each other, really. Well, I mean, we are, but essentially we're playing against the DraftKings casino. So,
yep.
Like, everybody should be able to get better and do things and learn things and help themselves to earn a mega profit, and it's done. You've done it.
And here's something to learn from his lineup. So he stacked JT and DJ together, both guys so over $10,000. That is a very, very savvy move to get some leverage on the field in terms of ownership. If you take two guys out there and try and find some balance, particularly birdie and eagle makers, like he had Cam Champ, who didn't finish all that great, but I think finished 9th in DraftKings points.
Oh, yeah.
Take two guys up top, stack them together, gain some leverage. It's a good note to kind of take away from his win.
And it also is true. You don't have to have a good player on the leaderboard. Like, it's better to have the Cam Champ who's T16, who scores 9th, than it is to have the Kevin Na who makes a bunch of pars.
Yeah.
I don't know.
You look at his lineup. It's not. It wasn't impossible to get there, and it's not like he had the top six guys, one through six, either. He had Westwood in there. It was okay. Justin Rose was okay, but you.
Oh, this is what we preach on the Fantasy Golf Pod, Joe. Every Tuesday night, Eric Martins and I, we do the Fantasy Golf Pod. We tell you, you don't have to be perfect. There's, yep. You don't have to be.
That's it. That's all I got. Masters 2020.
Well, we're talking about the betting board here on the Preferred Lines podcast, which includes the betting favorite this week, Sea Island, Georgia Machine, you could say, maybe. Webb Simpson, 10-1. It's kind of nice. Sea Island, Georgia is home for a lot of athletes, a lot of golfers. And this is a two-course rotation, so you have to keep that in mind. Everyone's going to get two courses. You're going to have an easier and a harder, probably, or they're about the same. I don't know. I can't remember.
They're a little bit different. So one is the Seaside course, I believe, is a par 70, about 7,000 yards. It is wide open and right on the water. So there's supposed to be some wind this week that I've looked into. That could be a factor because the wind just blows right through that place, par 70. The other one is the Plantation course, I believe it is. So that is a par 72, also 7,000 yards. So very, very short for a par 72. Much more of a traditional tree-lined course that we see. So a little bit of a defense from the wind there. Maybe something to keep an eye on with the wind is if it's really going to pick up one of those first 2 days, you're going to want, when the wind is lower, you're going to want the guy that's on the Seaside course because that's where it's going to have the biggest impact. Huge greens, wide fairways. We've seen short hitters be very much in play here. Put in the fairway and wedge it well.
Okay. Well, like I said, at the tippity tip top, you can find Webb Simpson. He's 10-1 and he lost in a playoff last year to Tyler Duncan. He was runner up, but he's now 10-1 after finishing top 10 at the Masters last week. Do you care if they're in the Masters? Does that matter? Or are they tired because they had to walk the Masters? Or is it like having a donut on your bat and then you take the donut off and then you're at the RSM and you're like, holy crap, I can hit home runs. Boom.
That's a very fair take. That's probably what I would lean to most. I'm not really going to plus or minus anyone either way. The Masters is what it is. I think that Webb is a little bit different because he's so good, right? And that was a tournament I think he went into thinking he had a really good shot at. So maybe a little bit of a letdown there, but he's coming back to a place where he's familiar. Hatton is the other guy, but he missed the cut, so he stuck around, has been playing golf. I'm not going to really factor it in for or against anyone.
Okay, so then did you take Webb or Hatton? Who are the guys that are under 20-1?
Nope, neither.
Okay, I didn't do that either, so we don't really need to spend a lot of time on those names. You go to the 20s. 20s are filled with some juicy names. I can't believe it. When I said, we're not doing an RSM pod, dude, you're like, but are we? Because the names are here. And you got Sung Jae-in, he's at 20-1. You got Fleetwood. You got Henley and Fitzpatrick and Jason Day.
Jason Day. This field is right up my alley, buddy. This is like, I was.
Well, this reminds me of your, when did you score Bigley? And
this reminds me of the Wyndham. This reminds me very much of the Wyndham field.
So what did you do there? How did you strategize it? Did you use a top price guy and then you collect a bunch of randoms?
No. I started with Sungjae, I believe, who I'm going to start my betting card with this week at 20-1.
Okay.
Was so impressed with them last week. I came away with a different level of respect for his game and his around the green game and how he plays difficult courses. On Bermuda grass greens, I know that he kind of put that, maybe buried that myth last week with how
there. Joe, Augusta in November was more Bermuda than Bend.
It's true. You do know this. But I'm going to take him 20-1. I feel like is a very good number. He's coming in form. I'm not worried about his Masters run because we've seen him do this. We've seen him grind out Thursday through Sunday and be at the top of a leaderboard and then just go out and do it again. There's no doubt in my mind he's already there and played a practice round this morning, and he's going to, if he continues any sort of form that he carries over, he's going to be at or near the top of the leaderboard. I think 20-1 is a really good number on him too. I was not expecting to see it that high.
Are you surprised to see Fleetwood and Fitzpatrick and Jason Day, I kind of am. I think if you're going to try to do something strategy-wise, maybe you take the guy that had rest and you pick Georgia boy and Russie Henley.
Yeah, I looked at Henley. It's a very fair number for him, seeing that in a what I thought was a stronger field in Houston and maybe a less favorable setup, he was around the same or less. So I think it's a very fair number. I'm just allocating sort of my chips at the very top in this under 30-1 range, all in on Sung Jae. What about
all
you?
All M.
Yeah.
I love that. I used to
Sunday M.
Now, the 30s is where I started my card this week. I started with Harris English, 30-1 guy. Now, the Georgia narrative, okay? There's a Georgia narrative. You're going to hear it. I might tweet about it. But did it help Harris English last year at the RSM where he missed the cut? Or did it help Kisner, who missed the cut at the RSM? And or like other names that they've been to college in Georgia. They love the area. They live around here. Whatever. It doesn't necessarily matter, but it can matter sometimes. I got $3.50. Okay, Joe, I'm picking. I did $20 on 12 guys. Literal okay. 12 humans. And so part of that $20
is allocated
to Harris English. $3.50 of my 20 is on him at 30-1. Louis Oosthuizen's here. I'm not picking him. Lowry, Niemann, Munoz, Kokrak. That's kind of like the, like, we don't know what to do with them names. They're good, mm-hmm. but the public doesn't necessarily think they're that good. Do you have any other interest besides Harris English, who I think is due to win?
I have some interest in Shane Lowry, actually. I feel like he's coming in a bit under the radar. I believe he topped 25 last week at the Masters, coming off of like a T11 at Houston. He struggled coming out of the COVID break, whatever you want to call it. He sort of found a little bit of a form. And I think that this course being a little bit on the shorter side, coastal, at least the seaside course is described as very links stylish. I think that that is in his wheelhouse. We get a little bit of wind and maybe some rain or something like that. He's a bit of a mutter.
Sure.
I just feel like he's playing pretty solid and his form is trending. Obviously won a major championship last year. So of these guys in the 30 range, I feel like his upside is win.
Lowry just played with Tiger too.
Did he?
Yeah. So he played around with Tiger.
He witnessed the 10.
Dude, I've seen people who play with Tiger and then they like do well. Cause they have that like, oh, if I can keep up with Tiger Woods.
Yeah. Well, Tiger shot a 76. So he probably whooped his ass on Sunday.
Mm-hmm. With a 10. Anyway, 40-1. You got Corey Connors, who was the top Canadian last week and somehow popped on Saturday and did well. And then Kisner was there, but not. And then Rose was alive and well, and he's here this week. And so was Brian Harmon, Birdie Brian, a Georgia guy. And that's who I put $1.50 on. So if you keep track at home, I'm already up to $5. That's Harmon at 40-1 for me. Birdie Brian, I think he's due to win too. I like the Harris English Harmon because not a lot of people do, but they're really talented athletes. Are they athletes? Well, they're golfers at least, and they're talented.
Harmon athlete?
Harmon?
English athlete? Maybe a tad of a stretch, but they are some Sea Island boys. We know about the Sea Island boys. I have interest in Harmon. Haven't bet him yet, but he is on the short list.
Yeah, 40 seems kind of weird, but I did it.
Yeah.
What about the 50s, Poulter and Zach Johnson?
Nope. Poulter actually rebounded pretty well. I had him in a couple DraftKings lineups that like min cashed.
He rebounded well.
It looked like he was going to miss the cut and then ended up like shooting 2 under each of the next 3 days. So scored pretty well for his price.
So then no interest this week. You think he's, why is he here kind of thing?
I don't know. I just don't think that his upside is there for 55-1. I think he may have another win left in him in terms of win equity, but I just feel like it could very is easily come when he's 80 or 90-1 as when he's 55.
So then are we going to go to the 60s? And that's where I went, Joe. I love
that's where I went,
dude. These are our names.
Let's talk about our guy. Tell me, Tell me our guy.
Okay, well, let's go through the list, and I'll tell you if I bet him. Okay, the 60 range, you got Redman at 60. Of course, I bet him.
Of course.
Gooch at 60. Yeah, Taylor Gooch. And then Hughes, CH3, Fratelli, Wallace, Westwood, and then digging in the Denny Dirt, 66-1. Put some money on that. I mean, well, that's our guy, kind of, right?
Oh, yeah. In on both Doc and Denny, big time. Huge. Doc is still crushing it. Tee to green. I think that like a couple of comps that I put into play here this week, I actually did a good bit of digging this morning. I had some time, but Harbortown, Bermuda, Corrales, Doc just played really well on sort of a coastal. Like Bermuda, I feel like is a very good, similar course.
Hey, wait. Let me ask you, Joe. You watch the Masters at home. You're sitting there. You're watching it. Does this not give you the itch to play golf? Like, my God, if I didn't live in Minnesota, I might not have actually even watched the golf. It just inspires us to play. Do you think it doesn't do that to Doc Redman sitting at home or these other guys that are excited about it and want to get into it and, like, need the points, need the finishes, need a win? I think these are the guys. This is the
need to get into the Masters. Yeah,
for sure. The talented name. These are the names, right?
For sure. And Doc is so on the cusp. I feel like he's looking at these guys and he's like, shit, I'm playing better than these fucking guys. Like you, like Fratelli, Sebastian Munoz, Corey Connors, even Cam Smith to some degree. Like Doc's outplaying these guys or playing at a similar level to them every week on the PGA Tour. So absolutely, he sees them out there competing with a chance on Sunday to win the Masters, and maybe not win, but if Dustin wasn't so great, then they were right up there at the top of the leaderboard and playing phenomenal. And just the exposure that that got them.
Or just the top 12. I mean, my God, it gets you back there.
Plus, he's just in such good form. Look, I kind of saw the letdown at Houston coming after Bermuda. He's shown that propensity a little bit.
Yeah, you mentioned that. And I took your recommendation and faded him.
Rejuvenated. He's back. Denny as well. Look, we've just seen guys where off the tee here doesn't really matter. Like, I look back, Austin Cook and who was the other guy? Tyler Duncan that won. Pretty much, like, it's very rare that a guy wins a tournament and gains basically zero strokes off the tee. Both of those guys did that. Like, that never happened. So what they did was they hit their approaches really close, and they made every 10 to 12 foot putt. Sounds like Denny to me. I'm in on both of those guys. I snuck an 80 in on Denny this morning very early, and a 60 on Doc. Love it both.
Okay, well, shit, I wish I could have gotten that 80. Thanks for the text on that.
It was early. It might have been.
it might have been when I was like, I'm not
doing status.
This is the RSM. But then I got to the RSM long shots, and I was like, oh, this is juicy, and I love it. And it starts with Bermuda, Sam Burns at 70-1. Are we going back? Because I sure as hell am. Because what? He's 70-1? Sam Burns, a guy that's due to win? He loves the grass. He's got that break after having a 54-hole lead for the first time of his career. He should be more like 45-1, and he's 70, and I put money on it. Of course. Did you?
I did not. I'm not going to say it's not a good bet. I just, I'm looking at previous winners, and his biggest advantage, I don't know, is a huge advantage here.
But being talented, being young and excited and being motivated and
being long and being incredible off the tee and gaining a ton of strokes on the field there. I don't know that that has, look, it's always like, it's always going to help, right? Wide fairways. He should be able to bomb it out there and be 30 yards closer, but it just hasn't shown that. Kisner, Duncan, Charles Howe, Austin Cook. These are the guys who are winning this event.
Well, and it can be a new winner with a new skill set this year, 2021. Totally. Keep in mind, this is the 2021 RSM. Do you like any of the long shots? Because I've thrown a dollar on all these 100 guys. It's insane. Why are these guys 100? It's they're 100 because they're kind of bad. But at the same time, I think that they surely could win. You got Cameron Davis at 100, Norlander, Wyndham Clark, my boy, Maverick McNealy, Ventura. I'm going to go back to Ventura. You got Scott Piercy could even win, and he's 125-1. Do you like any of these names? Or do you like the Georgia boys?
Such a good field. Even these guys are attractive. All of them that you said, you can make a case for any one of them. I took a couple. I took right off the bat, I took JT Poston, 100-1. I was on him last week at the Masters. I just think he's trending well. He's one of these sort of Sea Island boys that are live here, plays it all the time. Good setup for him. He won his event at a comp course that I put for this at the Wyndham. So I took him 100-1. The other one was Matt Neesmith, 125-1. He was in my guy fantasy grind. Jeff put out a stat earlier today where he's been really, really strong lately coming into the green. He's been struggling so bad at chipping and pitching. I don't think that matters this week. These greens are huge. Just put it on the putting surface with a short iron in hand and should be able to putt pretty well. He was really popular play at Harbortown because he, you know, he had the whole thing. He proposed to his wife on the 18th green and played really well that week. Made the cut, finished really strong in DraftKings. There's a ton of good names here. You can make a case for just about any of them. Looking at the, like, off the top of my head, I'm looking right now and I can see Mark Hubbard potentially ending up on the card. I can see Cameron Davis. I can even see Peter Malnati, who's been playing really well at 125-1. So there's a, like, throw a couple bucks around here and throw some darts.
Dude, I will say this could be a really good DraftKings week for people who know things, but keep in mind last year, there were six guys above 10K. The only guy to make the cut was 12-6 Webb, and the rest of the 10K guys were terrible. So you got to maybe even just go, I'm going all in Webb, and I'm going to spray this 7K range of randoms and all these 101 guys that could easily pop and have a chance to win. We don't know what's going to happen. This is variance.
You made a great point there where I think that if you put in the work this week. Look, everyone I think is going to come in a little bit tired and may not do the same preparation they usually do this week. Could be a good opportunity for, you know, go through Fantasy National, go to rickrungood.com, go to Gup's Corner, you know, play with the different models and try and find some lineups and find an edge this week and outwork some people potentially.
Just take the names we told you.
And you know, guys,
Burns, Davis, Norlander. I mean, Norlander is good and he likes it here. He's played well here.
Adam Shanks is so popular. There's so
Tringali is a Georgia Tech guy.
What about you? I know you bet your boy Wyndham Clark, right?
Of course. 110-1 on Wyndham Clark. Like, they're just not giving him any love because he's not, or, you know, past stats.
I just comped the Bermuda. I thought it was very similar on the coast. I think the same or similar course designer. Oceanside, short.
But you're telling me you don't need to be a bomber. So maybe not Wyndham Clark.
But you made the point too that it always helps, right? So It's not that it's just normally, I think it brings the shorter hitters more into play. It's not necessarily a negative thing for these guys who have the distance. It just brings more guys up to maybe their level who hit it 280 off the tee. Like, these are the one of their weeks where they know they have to capitalize. Like, if you're in the bottom half of PGA Tour in distance, there's probably 10 to 15 courses on the season throughout the year where you can just cross out. Like, you're fucking done. If you hit it 283 off the tee, you've got no chance at Torrey Pines. Like, there's places where you know that you walk into with no shot. And then there's places you see of 7,000 yards in a par 72 and you're like, okay, let me get some nine irons in my hand, which is my strength, and do my thing.
All right, let me talk to you quickly about the other names, the randomness. What about, you said Kirk Cousins is going to have a terrible Monday Night Football game.
I was kidding.
Thanks a lot for saying that.
I was kidding, but I did bet the Bears.
Game is terrible in prime time. We already know that. We should have been tanking. I don't know why we're winning these games. Thanks a lot, Dalvin Cook. You're so good. I don't understand that. But what about Kirk, our guy, Chris Kirk, at 160-1? He's a Georgia boy.
Okay.
I don't have him on the card, but he's alive. Do you have him in mind?
Nope, I don't have anyone else, but like I said, I can see myself peppering a couple guys.
Oh, buddy, what about your boy, Chris Baker? Do you see what his odds are?
No.
600-1.
Oh, my God. It's
how the mighty have fallen. Well, people have caught on. He's actually Chris Bogeymaker.
Nick Watney, 350-1. Like, he's not a bad player.
I know, it's crazy. It's sad, which is like, holy crap, is the RSM a good field?
Because Ryan Armour.
You got Fitzpatrick, you got Jason Day in the 20s, you got 30s.
I comp the Bermuda. There's Ryan Armour again. He went off in the final group. He's a great short course player.
You love that Ohio, man. Should we talk about our preferred plays and get out of here?
What's up?
Do you want to tweet your preferred plays, or do you have them kind of wrapped up?
I'll tweet it out later in the week. We should talk briefly about our sponsor. Mm. How fun was that this week? Let's talk about Jock Market.
Jock Market is a sports stock market. Like, that's as simple as it gets. You buy a player, and then their stock moves as the price or changes based on how well they do. And the guy who's the best gets $25. The guy who's terrible is $1. That's pretty much the concept of it. I threw in $100. I got a bunch of random names. I was trading them all week. I, you know, bought low on Patrick Reed at one point thinking that that was a good idea. It wasn't. I sold at Cam Smith on Sunday morning thinking that that was a good idea because he could fuck up Sunday, and then he wasn't. So that was a bad idea. But like, these are things you can do. You can go after sleepers on Thursday or Wednesday afternoon or Wednesday evening, whenever the IPO is going down for that week. And that's what you do. You get in. You don't go after the big names and the ones that are going to win. No. What you want to do is you want to get those sleepers for like a couple bucks. You get a lot of shares on those names, and that's what's going to propel you. And your portfolio is going to grow more doing that, I believe. Yeah. How did you grow your portfolio on Jock Market?
It was a couple guys. It was Cam Smith, obviously, my golden ticket was Tommy Fleetwood. I noticed that Tommy was basically completely overlooked, and he was just way down the board. And I'm like, if Tommy plays well and top 25s this thing, I'm going to triple his value. And I got a ton. But I think the thing is like, this is relatively new. So I don't know if our guys are over there watching this, but I'll let you guys in on a little secret. Their pricing right now, I think it's in an effort to sort of entice new customers, is pretty soft.
What does that mean? Do you mean like you basically can't lose money?
I'm not saying that, but all right, for instance, I didn't feel like I had a great week on there and was up like 46%. Rick didn't have a great week on there, was up in the 30s. You didn't have a great picks on there, and you still made like 25%.
I thought I was gonna lose money.
Exactly. Like, I thought I was gonna, like, I knew I was doing okay. I thought I was definitely gonna break over, but like,
46%. So go sign up for Jock Market. That's what we're trying to say. And you can use our referral code or our code, or our name. You get $10 for free, and you can do it in the NFL, and you could do it in other sports. And that's what I did on Sunday morning. It was like insane. It was like, I was another option to make or lose money.
In the last hour on Wednesdays from 8 to 9 PM, when it sort of heats up in there and guys are just rapidly changing prices, I found it to be fun. Like, extremely fun.
Oh, it's intense, because like, you wanted that guy and then you didn't bid enough for him. Yes. So then you lose him, but then are you going to go back to him because you weren't sure? And then,
and as it's closing,
guy at all. And then he's not even being bid on. So maybe I'll go after that guy.
That's
that
how I landed on Fleetwood. There was like 2 minutes left.
What the hell? And then you can go, holy crap, my sleeper guy at the top that I like, nobody else does. And he's only $10 and a winner gets 25. So you could go after you could do different strategies. You could go after the sleepers that make the cut and then hope they propel, and you got $1.50 a share on somebody and they make out, they're making $10. Or you go with the guy that's $10 on no IPO day. He's like a top 10, 15 threat. And then all of a sudden he wins and he gets 25 off your 10. That's 15 a share. So depending on where your budget is, you can find ways to increase your portfolio and make some money and have some fun.
Yeah. Right. You aren't making 46% in a week on Robinhood. I'll tell you that. Like, so it's awesome. Like, it's
real,
it's
money.
Sports,
too.
It's like, fun. It's real money. You can PayPal it instantly back into your account if you want.
Play around with that and tell them we sent you.
It's not always going to be like this. It's going to get harder. So like, right,
well, there's going
like
to be more traders.
The infancy stage of like DraftKings when it first launched.
And it's like, no, you almost have to entice them to buy, because you can't just put your share out there at a high price and expect them to, you know. But it's only going to get better is what you're basically saying. And it's true.
It's only going to get better, but it's also only going to get, I think, a little bit more challenging as people start figuring it out and you get this influx of all this big money that comes in. Right now, I haven't lost yet. It's only been a couple weeks.
Did you do NFL?
No, I didn't do NFL. Did you?
Oh, I went all in on the nobody wanted Houston Texans stack of Watson and Fuller and Cooks. So what did I do? I went on that stack. And who do they play? The Browns. I'm like, oh, they're going to kill the Browns.
And then the wind, friend.
You know, the wind.
I could have told you. I could have told you differently there.
Well, I didn't realize it was 75 miles. I was like 30. They'll be fine. They can dump down.
It's like a hurricane in Cleveland.
It's crazy. So there are ways to be bad at it. And I have done that too. But you can go like, wow, this guy's not wanted. It's like, okay, I'll give it a shot and see if the risk is worth the reward. And that's the point. Buy low, sell high.
It is. Yep. 100%.
All right. Well, that's about it for the RSM and the recap of the Masters. Thank you for watching and liking and subscribing. And you can follow us on Twitter. He's Joe Idoni, Tour Picks. I'm Chad Eckert, Eddie Dine, a Realchi. And I'm a Sungjae Im fan, a Patrick Reed fan. I loved Cam Smith. I love JT. I love DJ. The Masters was probably one of the best experiences of my life. I watched every single second of it. It's almost too much, Joe, the where you can see every player. I was telling my wife, I'm like, this is too much because I actually want to watch every player. So then it's too much. It's like intense.
The my group did get a little overwhelming when you have like 15, 20 guys start. It starts to like get a little backlog in there and you feel like you're behind the action.
Yeah.
But still cool. Hey, guys, like, subscribe, leave us a review, help us out. Maybe like throw something in the comments on YouTube or do us a solid, right? We're here for you.
Write us a question. If like something comes up in your mind, just type it out to us and then that allows the algorithms and I'll respond or Joe will respond and then someone might see that, oh, at YouTube, I don't know how this works, the computer, some little spider inside of the computer will find our post and think, look, people are engaging in this and then show it to someone else that has never seen us. And that's the whole point. That's how you grow. We're doing this somewhat for free. Basically, but for fun, you know, try to provide some information. My wife is making dinner inside. We're doing this in the garage. I'm doing this like last second before the Vikings game. You know, just this isn't serious. We're not taking ourselves too seriously, but it would help to do those little things. I mean, it costs you nothing and takes no time.
Deal. Sounds good, buddy. Can I get a skull?
Skull.
What do you do? Is it this? Skull! 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 I bet the Bears +3.5. See you later, buddy.
Peace out.